Amen. Thank you, Tony. We appreciate that. Great job. A great message in that song. We appreciate that. Aren't you thankful for Tony and Miriam Moon? They are a great asset to our church. Yeah. Great asset to our church and mean a lot to our church family. We appreciate all that they do. The honor to be standing before you this evening and filling in for Dr. May. I want to ask that we get right to it. If you would, take your Bible and turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. This is a story that I'm sure you all remember, familiar with. Story of Moses and his encounter with God and a very important message in this passage. Exodus 3. Verse 1 through 10. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land, from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place where the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let's pray together. God, we bow before your throne. Thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for your word. I pray that you would speak through me, give me the words to say, forgive me of my sins, and use me. And I pray that we receive your word into our heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, when I was pastoring a church, I had a church member that gave me this laminated card. I'm not sure where they received it. Might have bought it at a store or something. But this laminated card, somebody had taken well-known advertising slogans of well-known products and used those advertising slogans to describe what God is like. And so, for my introduction this evening, I want to share some of these with you. And let me just say that these are rather old. This goes back a few years, but I think we're all old enough to remember these, and you'll probably recognize some of these advertising slogans. First one's very easy to remember. It says, God is like Coca-Cola. He's the real thing. God is like Bayer aspirin. He works wonders. God is like General Electric. He lights your path. God is like Hallmark cards. He cares enough to send the very best. God is like Tide. He gets the stains out that others leave behind. God is like VO5 hairspray. He holds through all kinds of weather. God is like Dial soap. Aren't you glad you know him? Don't you wish everybody did? God is like Alka-Seltzer. Try him, you'll like him. And God is like scotch tape. You can't see him, but you know he's there. Maybe y'all not old enough to remember those. But those are some advertising slogans from years ago for well-known products. And somebody was very creative and was able to use these advertising slogans for these products to give some insight into what God is like. But we know that God's Word is the best place to go to discover who God is and what He is like. In God's Word, we learn more about the specific characteristics about God. And as I said, we learn who He is. Here in Exodus 3, we read about this encounter between Moses and God. And in this encounter, we can learn about God's attributes and His characteristics. Now, I know that all of you are Wednesday night Bible scholars, and you know the story of Moses and all of that and how that took place, and you remember this story here in Exodus 3. But let's remind ourselves of the background of Moses and bring us up to Exodus chapter 3 here. Of course, we know the Hebrew people had been in slavery for 400 years in Egypt. And about the time Moses was born, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the leader of Egypt, issued a decree, issued a law that all the male Hebrew babies would be killed. The mother of Moses made a basket, put Moses in that basket, and placed him in the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter then found Moses, and ultimately Moses was raised in the royal Egyptian palace. In adulthood, when Moses reached adulthood, he was given authority over soldiers. He was given a position of authority as an Egyptian leader. And one day he saw an Egyptian overseer, taskmaster, beating a Hebrew slave. Moses intervened. He killed the Egyptian supervisor or overseer, and he in turn left Egypt, ended up in the land of Midian. And there he met and married Jethro's daughter, and he worked as a shepherd tending the sheep there in the land of Midian. And here we see one day in the land of Midian, while Moses is out tending his flock, caring for his sheep, we see that God reveals himself to Moses. And in this encounter between God and Moses, we see that God calls Moses to lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt and to the promised land. And so we see here this appearance of God. And in this appearance, we learn of the attributes of God. So the title of our lesson tonight, the appearance and the attributes of God. Notice three things here in these 10 verses about the attributes of God. Number one, first of all, notice that God is completely holy. God is completely holy. Look at verse 4 and 5. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off of your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." I'm sure all of you have used Germex hand sanitizer before, and you may have noticed on the label of Germex hand sanitizer, it says that the hand sanitizer kills 99.99% of the germs. I always wondered about that and worried about that 0.01% that it doesn't kill. But we know that God is not a 99.99% holy. God is 100% holy. The Bible dictionary says that the word holy means moral and ethical wholeness or perfection. The dictionary goes on to say that the main use of the word holy in the Bible is to describe God's righteous nature. Here we're talking about the holiness of God, an attribute of God. It is not something that God had to strive for. It is not something that God had to achieve. It is who God is. God is holy. But I want to call your attention. Notice this definition, this one word in the definition here, perfection. Perfection. Moral and ethical perfection. There is not 0.01% of God that is unholy. God is without sin. God is holy. God is righteous and perfect. Revelation 15:4 says this, "Who shall not fear you, O Lord, for you alone are holy." 1 Samuel 2:2, "There is none holy like the Lord." Leviticus 19:2, God there tells Moses to say to the people, and this is repeated by the Apostle Peter in the book of 1 Peter in the New Testament. God said this, he said, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." So we see from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible tells us, and we are reminded about the holiness of God. So why is this significant? What's so significant? What does that mean to us, the holiness of God? What is that? How do we relate to that? What does that mean for us? What is the problem about a holy God? Well, for God, there's not a problem. God is holy. The problem is with our unholiness. God is holy, righteous, and perfect. But because of our sin nature, because Adam and Eve committed that first sin, all of us are born into this world with a sin nature, unholy, unrighteous, and certainly not perfect. There are other words that the Bible uses to describe our sinful condition. Words like vile, V-I-L-E, vile, and wicked, and wretched. And one day, each one of us, because we're born into this world with sin nature, we're going to stand before a holy God. Hebrews 9:27 says this, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment of God." All of us have a destiny to stand before a holy God. Think about that. Of all the attributes of God, God is all-knowing. God is all-wise. God is all-powerful. God is an ever-present, sovereign God. But I submit to you this evening, listen to me, when each one of us, when every person stands before the presence of God or stands in the presence of God, I submit to you the overwhelming attribute will be His holiness. That overarching attribute, characteristic, will be His holiness, His righteousness. Understand, think about that. We'll be in the presence of a holy God. But there is good news. Even though we were born unholy and unrighteous, there is good news. Remember, we said God is like Hallmark cards. He cared enough to send the very best. God sent His Son Jesus 2,000 years ago. He sent His Son Jesus into this world to die on an old rugged cross for our sins. He died on the cross, was buried. 3 days later, He was raised from the dead. And if you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you are a new creature in Christ. You have been transformed. You have been changed. Jesus is in us, and we are in Him. Listen to me, church. We don't have to worry about standing before a holy God. Why? Because when we stand before God, He's not going to see my unholiness. He's not going to see my sins and my unrighteousness. God is going to see the righteousness of Jesus. God is going to see the holiness of Jesus. Amen? That ought to make you shout. You understand, in our lost condition, without Jesus, we're standing before a holy God, destined for His wrath, His judgment, and eternity in hell. But by accepting Jesus as Savior, our position before God changes. No longer is it wrath and judgment and hell. Our position changes, and now I'm accepted by God because of the finished work of Jesus. Accepted by God to spend eternity in a holy place with a holy God. God is like tide. He gets the stains out that others leave behind. Buddha couldn't do that for us. With Muhammad, we can't stand before a holy God. Buddha can't solve our sin problem. Muhammad can't solve our sin problem. Oprah can't solve our sin problem. The Pope can't solve our sin problem. It is only by the blood of Jesus. Only by the blood of Jesus and the finished work of Jesus that solves our sin problem, and we are accepted and received by a holy God. Isaiah 1:18 says, though our sins were as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So we see here, number one, in this encounter between God and Moses, number one, we see that God is completely holy. Number two, notice that God is continuously faithful. He's continuously faithful. Look at verse 6. He said, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. Notice here, listen, God is identifying himself to Moses. He's identifying himself here by stating to Moses that he is the God of his ancestors, hundreds of years ago, hundreds of years previous. He is announcing and declaring himself the God of the first three generations of God's chosen people. He's letting Moses know, I was the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses, I assure you that I will be with you. Listen to me, listen, church. Listen, we got to remember our God is a faithful God. He will never turn his back on his people. God promises in the New Testament to never leave us or forsake us. The Bible says that God is the God of the universe. The Bible says that God is the God of all nations. But the Bible also teaches that God is the God of individuals. God is a holy God, yes. But he's also a personal God. A personal God. He wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. He knows your needs. He sees you right where you are. No matter what you're going through, you can trust God's faithfulness. I came across a poem about trusting God. The author of the poem is unknown, but it addresses, it's great for this point about trusting God and his faithfulness. It says this, trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to simply trust him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him, he is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the perfect place of rest. So we see here, quickly, we see in this encounter that God is completely holy. God is continuously faithful. And number three, notice that God is consistently compassionate. Consistently compassionate. Look at verse 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. The oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. In these two verses, we see here an emphasis. Notice the emphasis there on the fact that God was well aware of his people's difficult situation. Notice his words. He says, I have seen their affliction. Some versions say, I have seen their oppression. He says, I have seen their affliction. I have heard their cry. I know their sorrows. Let me tell you something. We all go through difficult times. The Christian life is not always on the mountaintop. There are times in the valley as well. And God sees your affliction when you're going through those difficult times. And it's okay to go to him and cry out and talk to him about your difficult situation and share with him how you feel. God hears your cry. He knows your sorrows. Listen, God knows your situation better than we do, better than I do, better than you do your situation. But God loves you. No matter where you've been or what you've done, God loves you. We're talking about the attributes of God here. We're saying that God is holy. That is who he is. Well, God is love. That is his nature. You know, I know you probably heard the news story that's been in the news quite a bit since Monday. There was a 72-car pileup up in Illinois, the state of Illinois, on Interstate 55. 72-car pileup, 7 people have died as a result. And this 72-car pileup was caused by a windstorm. And there are photos and video on TV, on the news, showing what had taken place. And you just see this windstorm taking place, you can't see anything dust storm caused by the wind, dust storm. The wind blew the topsoil from the farmland across the interstate. And so people were driving up the interstate, and suddenly they're in the middle of a dust storm, totally unable to see, vision totally gone. Unable to see a thing. I thought, you know, that's sometimes the way it is in life. Sometimes we're going through life, cruising along, everything is fine, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves in a storm. Unable to see. But remember, God sees you right where you are. Remember, he's like VO5 hairspray. He holds you together in all kind of weather. Psalm 103:13 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. God is like Dial soap. Aren't you glad you know him? Don't you wish everybody did? Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. We acknowledge you as a holy, righteous God, and we're so thankful for the finished work of Jesus. And we know one day we'll be standing before you, and we're so glad that we'll be received by you and be able to spend eternity with you in a holy place in the presence of a holy God. God, we're so thankful for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your compassion. Bless everyone here, Lord. Anyone here tonight going through a difficult time, going through a storm, I pray that you just pour out your love into their heart and rescue them, deliver them from their situation. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.